Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
That's tea, actually. Hello, hello, hello.
Kasho, kasho,
kasho. Hi, Babelekis. How are you?
¿Qué onda, Fabichuela? Very good.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Okay, well, that has been our episode. Bye.
Bye. Doing good, just eating leftovers because I'm still in the house, just cooking a lot and working, you know, doing my thing. How are you?
What leftovers?
Oh, my God. I've been cooking a storm. This new apartment has the greatest kitchen. Yesterday, we had the weirdest fucking meal, but we loved it. It was chile verde, and I used chiles de Nuevo Mexico with pork and papas. So I made this stew with tomatillo, chile verde, cilantro, y guaraguara la cuchara. And then we had my Mexican fried rice recipe. So we had Mexican fried rice with chile verde stew. Oh, dude, it was so fucking good. So that's what I had today.
Yummy.
¿Y tú qué show?
You know, I went to go eat at this Filipino restaurant, and I thought it was... I don't know what it was. It's a chain, so maybe some of the listeners know it. It's called Max's, and the logo is confusing. It kind of looks like a, I don't know. I thought it was like, not a restaurant. Because of the logo, it looks like it's like a tire place or something. I don't know what it was. But I was pleasantly surprised to keep reading, and underneath it actually says Max's Filipino cuisine, you know? So then I went in, and it was good. It was just... I'm still trying to eat vegetarian all the time, you know? So, unfortunately, the Filipino food there...
They love chicharrones, man.
The two things on the menu that were vegetarian were...
Rice.
Steamed rice. Oh, three things. Steamed rice, jasmine rice with garlic, and... Oh, and French fries. That's it.
French fries.
So
deep fried in, like...
Yeah, I had to eat meat. And then everything... Everything that was like vegetable on the menu, like at the bottom, it's like with pork and chicken. Like everything has pork in it. Y'all Filipinos know how to throw down. Everything has meat in it. Everything has pork in it. It's so good. But, you know, I've talked about this on the show before in relation to Guatemalan food. Filipino food and Guatemalan food is so similar, and it like blows my mind. So my mom makes this dish that I've talked about several times on this show. Called chomin, right?
Oh,
like chow mein,
right. Yeah.
Chomin. And I realized at this restaurant that chomin is just a derivative of egg noodle pancit. Pancit is like a noodle dish from the Philippines. It's almost exactly the same. I need to dive into this. I need to do some research because there's got to be... I mean, duh, colonization is the correlation.
Right.
Damn, make that a t-shirt. But
colonization is the correlation. Okay.
But I want to know the history. Like, how did that dish get to Guatemala? I know there's a lot of Chinese immigration too. A lot of Chinese immigrants in Guatemala, they're the ones that like really like, you see them a lot in the mercados, like selling textiles and dyes and stuff.
Right.
Like that's their gig there in Guate. But I don't know. There's got to be something else. So I'm excited to do the research for that.
So I think the first contact between Central America and Mexico...
I forgot. We have a doctor of art history on the show. Dale.
So the first contact between Mexico, Central America, or New Spain, and the Philippines was through the Manila Galeon. And the Manila Galeon was a boat that I think it was... I think it went back and forth between Japan, the Philippines... and Acapulco for at least 10 years in the 17th century. I bet you do it, unless it's... Because it's always like that. The patterns of migration and these cultural shifts in Central and American Mexico, it's always either colonial or it's like a new wave of immigrants of the early 20th century. So I think you can... Because there's a lot of that has been written about the Manila Galeon, but in regards to material culture, like tiles and paintings and biombos and all that stuff that we look at class. But I don't think anybody has done music, food history and the type of foods that arrived to the Americas through the Manila Galleon. But, oh, man, I'm going to do that research because I want to find out, too, because I bet you it started, the taste for anything Asian, including food, I bet you it started in the 1600s, but it was amplified in the early 20th century.
Awesome. Yeah. If anybody has any podcasts that I can listen to about this, please send them to me. Direct message, because I don't have time to read right now, but I can put my earphones in while I'm working in the studio. So please send me that link. Thank you.
So today's episode, it's a continuation, is yet another listener letters episode. As you mentioned, yay, in the last listener letter episode, we're getting caught up. There's so many essays. There's so many emails from last year that we finally get to read. And man, they're good. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a little break and then we'll come back with the listener letters. Today's episode is brought to you by the original Lindo Michoacán.
The one
on East Desert Inn.
Right. That's the right
one. In Las Vegas. Why do you keep interrupting me?
Que no se les olvide.
I don't understand why you keep interrupting me.
Keep going. Okay, keep
going. Like, I want to talk about Lindo Michoacán, but you just keep talking.
You're in fast forward.
It's like my favorite restaurant.
Stupid. What do you like?
What the fuck, dude?
What do you like?
No respect. What? I have no respect.
What do you like from Lindo Michoacán?
No respect for Michoacán. No respect for Mexico, huh?
What do you like from Lindo Michoacán the most?
Oh, really? You know, I'm a chips and salsa kind of girl. I love chips and salsa. And como los chips y salsa de Lindo Michoacán, no hay dos, okay?
Ay, cálmate, Duvalín. You know what I like? I like it's the red chile, the chile colorado.
Yes, girl.
There's something, you know, like growing up in the north and having burritos from Juarez, which is like poquitos frijoles and a stew. It's something that I miss a lot. And there's all those stews in the menu of Lindo Michoacán, chile verde, chile colorado. Ya sabes que si le pones puerco, I'm happy.
Ya tú sabes. And so if you are a Latinos Who Lunch listener and you say that you listen to Latinos Who Lunch, you get a 25% discount at Lindo Michoacán, the original on East Desert Inn. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. Y no se les olvide preguntar por su discount. Y cuando se los den, tip your waiter right.
Uh-huh. Also, I also recommend the carnitas. Even though I don't eat meat as much anymore, every time I go there, I suggest to my friends, las carnitas a la Coca-Cola are the best. And they simply are, y'all. They are delicious. Okay?
Mm-mm-mm.
Lindo Michoacán. Save water.
Drink margaritas.
And we're back again. Oh, have you? We haven't talked about RuPaul's Drag Race.
I am going to start watching it. I haven't. It just started yesterday.
Well,
I
no.
Just,
well, at this point, bitch, we're in the distant past.
We're in the future.
Yeah, or this is the future now. It's already three eliminations in or two eliminations in, girl.
Damn.
So, you know, I can tell you about the first episode because I already watched it. And by this point, most of our listeners are caught up on the first episode. They had Miley Cyrus on as the guest judge. Like,
ay, Dios mío.
Out of anybody, why Miley Cyrus? This is why, like RuPaul, I almost said RuPaul gotta go, but that's not nice. That's why RuPaul needs like younger producers or a younger advisor or somebody. I don't think he realizes that Miley Cyrus is like canceled. Like nobody gives a shit about her.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, like, you want to know some tea actually? Like,
tell me everything.
Miley Cyrus is a fucking poser. And I know this from people that have worked with her. She claims to be like queer friendly and queer this, queer that. She doesn't give a fuck. She don't know nothing. She's just like trying to have some sort of personality. Like, I don't know. You know, it's like these white queers that want so hard to be part of a minority that they make themselves weirder. You know what I'm talking? And it's girl, calm down. Like,
yeah. When you see somebody adopting this identity just because it's a trend.
Yes.
Which I see it a lot.
That's Miley.
Yes.
That is Miley. What's good, Miley? Nothing is good. I haven't heard anything good from Miley for a while. So I'm like, bitch, just lean into your white supremacy and make a country album already. We've been all waiting for it. You're a singing ass country bitch. Just do that and leave us the fuck alone. Like, I don't know. We'll see. She talked about Dolly Parton on the episode, so hopefully there's something coming out. But I'm like, the timing on this is so weird. Like, was nobody else available? Like, I don't know. At least, like, no, I was going to say Katy Perry, but I hate her. I actually don't like her more than Miley Cyrus.
I like Katy cuando baila.
No. And her haircut right now, like, what are you doing, bitch? Actually, I was listening to an episode of Café con Chisme. At this point, it was like a month ago. And they were going in on her. It was so awesome. But
and didn't they found this picture of Miley's mom just like with her closet full of weed? Like it was something cute. And that shows a fucking privilege they have because, you know, like there's so many communities that are going to jail for years and years and years for one fucking joint. And here you have this like this lady like posing with all this stuff. Like, ugh, no.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, girl, sit your ass down. But whatever, it was great to see all the queens. And I met some of them at DragCon in New York last year. So I was so happy to see Miss Sugarcane on there, who I talked to briefly. And then, you know, I'm here for all these like queens of color on this season. It's really amazing. So that's I can't wait to see what happens. Unfortunately, one of my favorite ones, I'm not going to say who got voted off already or got eliminated, not voted. This isn't Survivor. But it's so sad to see them go. But oh well, the show must go on. Kahana Montrese is on the show. And I don't, she's from Las Vegas. She's Coco Montrese's daughter. I've seen her perform before. But it's really interesting because she's like, she's a cute boy or whatever, but then she's a good performer. She's a good dancer, but her aesthetic isn't really there for me. Like, I don't know what's happening. Like, she looks a little crunchy all the time.
But that's what I miss from the show. Yeah. To see non-produced queens that are going to, you know, get more refined and more in touch with their craft. So that's what I'm looking for, to look at people that need work and you see their development through other shows. So hopefully this is an example of that, because I miss that, because it feels like in the last couple of seasons, everybody's pre-produced and ready to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's refreshing to hear.
Awesome. So I can't wait to hear your reaction to the show, Babalikis.
Okay, I have to do my homework. I will do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, first letter, you ready?
Yes. So this is a letter from Vivian. Vivian, hi, I am a 43-year-old Mexican-American. My dad was from Empalme, Sonora, eso. And my mom was born in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I was born in California, but when I was 11, we moved to Arizona, so I consider myself an Arizonan. Growing up, I don't think I had to ever say that I am so and so, but being older, I've had people ask me what I am. And I think she's referring to like her identity. I was married to a black man, so my kids are mixed race. Within the last 10 years, maybe, when checking a quote-unquote box for race, I've never noticed before that Mexican is not a race. But if you don't fall within those boxes, we as Mexicans in the U.S. are considered white race. I've always checked the Hispanic or Latino box if that was a choice, but the Census Bureau does not list Hispanic or Latino. My kids, I have two, that are 19, questioned me about the difference of being Hispanic and Latino, and I didn't know what to say. They tried to explain to me, but I was still left with questions, LOL. Can you tell me what exactly the difference is? When I was a teenager, I never wanted to be identified as Chicano or Latino and always said Hispanic, but I definitely would like to be corrected as needed. I like to say over the years, I embrace being Mexican and I'm proud of where I came from. I'm always curious to know about my ancestors, but have not attempted to tap into that. I can say that I'm very proud of my Mexican heritage, even though I know there is so much I do not know. Thanks for reading and hope to hear back with an answer. I love you guys. You have brightened my day. Vivian.
Wow. Thank you for that. Okay. Hispanic, Latino. Babelito?
So I think the reason why she identifies, and I could be wrong, with Hispanic, not only because, you know, it's the way that census changes. And yes, I think Mexicans were considered, Latinos were considered white in the census for a long time. But it, I wondered if it could be because, you know, you have family from Santa Fe. In Santa Fe, the people from Santa Fe identify themselves with their Spanish legacy more than with their Mexican legacy. And we talked about this before, and the problems and the issues with denying Mexicanidad in a place that was not only conquered by Spanish, but it was also later settled. When it was conquered by the Spanish brought all these Tlaxcaltecas, all these people from Mexico. So I believe there's more Mexican blood in New Mexico than we think. But the idea of Hispanic, the idea of being attached to the legacy of the colonizers is a thing. However, things are changing. The vocabulary changes. Identities and trends and vocabularies are always developing. They're never fixed. And that's what you see. And the census is a result of their colonial system. You have over 200 different categories or something like that in the U.S. census that you can choose from. Just like in the casta system in the colonial period, there were like 200 different castes that you can claim. So I think it's a little bit of that, but kids today make a clear definition between Hispanic and Latinx because Hispanic attaches yourself more to the lineage of the Españoles, of the Hispanos, of the conquistadores. And Latinx, it's more about legacy or heritage from Latin America. That's what I think. But I don't know. What do you think, Fabi?
Hispanics are Republicans. Latinos are Democrats. That's it.
Hey. Yeah. No, hashtag Fuentes.
I know. No, I think that, yeah, I just like the term Latino more because it is more an umbrella term.
Right.
And I mean, the way that I see it, I align more with people that identify as Latino than Hispanic. And I used to be more like, what's the word I'm looking for? I used to be very like, if you don't identify as Latino, don't talk to me. I don't want to talk to you Hispanics, right? But that's not right. but I don't get offended if people identify me as Hispanic anymore because right. I'm trying to catch those Hispanic Heritage Month checks, bitch. So fuck it. But yeah, it's complicated. Obviously, it's complicated, and it's just a way to the word Latino. I think just to include more people, and you know, people from places that maybe don't speak Spanish but have this Latin American heritage. You know what I mean?
Yes, and it's also like media. I remember as a kid watching those comerciales, Orgullo Hispano. I remember thinking like, I want to become an Orgullo Hispano. Like, I want to make my mom and my dad proud. But it was that was the default term, but it has to do with the census and things change, you know, and now it's all about Latinx. So I wouldn't be hung up too much on those categories because, you know, they're distracting. But it's also important to have this conversation with your kids because the way that the kids are identifying has a lot to do with the way that history has put us outside of certain categories and certain ideas. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome that you have this conversation with your kids. But again, you know, if you want to be cool, just don't say you're Hispanic.
Okay, next letter. Our next letter is from Seb. And the subject is Zumba drama. Okay, here we go.
Wow.
My Zumba teacher was telling me how their target is middle-aged women, and they almost become jealous when one of the teachers goes for coffee with one of the girls, or when the teacher brings the girlfriend. They all get upset.
Damn.
They tend to idealize the teacher. They have to put on a show, and the girls forget. They eat, they poop, and they have lives outside of the class. They feel down sometimes and want to stay in bed and not go and teach the class. People idealize their public figures. Anyway, this is just to say that every time Babelito talks about his boyfriend, now husband, it breaks my heart and I almost get upset. This is not usual for me. I'm just saying. I would love to meet you guys, and obviously I would love to meet Babelito's boyfriend too, but at the moment, It's podcast celebrity relationship and me. Sorry, blame it on the wine, Seb. Wow, Babelito.
Qué pelo.
You're being equated to a Zumba teacher. What an honor.
That's what I was just thinking.
How much do you sell the Herbalife shakes for? Yo quiero una de cookies, por favor, con un poquito de piña encima.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to say, man. Like, what am I supposed to say?
Well, I know this dynamic. I've been aware of this dynamic when it comes to, like, people on TV and people on radio. And so I don't know if you remember this, Babelito, but from the very beginning of the show, because we had a very early episode, we talked to Tamarindo Podcast when Luis Octavio and Brenda Gonzalez were both on it. Yeah, and both of their partners were in the room. And after that podcast,
when they came to Vegas, yes.
I remember having a conversation to you and making it clear. I was Roxy Andrews, and I came to make it clear. I said, never again. I was like, we're never going to record episodes with other people's partners in the room because it was awkward. Because you know, you mm-hmm. when you have a relationship with somebody, you don't act 100% yourself when they're in the room. Or, you know what I mean? It's like you're almost like performing for them. And that's exactly what happened kind of on that episode. Right. Just because we had like an audience, I guess it didn't really matter who it was. And then I talked to you about like a lot, like for example, a lot of celebrities will not say that they are married or mm-hmm. that they have a partner because it distracts from like the fans thinking that they could somehow someday be part of this person's life, you know, which is really funny, but like it's like part of show business. So I thought it was funny that you interviewed your own boyfriend on the show and you didn't acknowledge that it's the same boyfriend. You know, ever since you and Emmanuel started dating, you mentioned him on the podcast every episode, sometimes several times. So then for you to interview him and not say that it's him, I was like, what's going on?
Because not everybody knows, and I wasn't going to get in it. I mean, now they do, but back then they didn't, and like some people saw it, some people didn't see it. Like, I don't know, like, fuck, yeah. Bitch, we're not celebrities. Like, I don't think about things like that. So like when I read this letter, I thought it was like, oh, okay, wow. I mean, I'm flattered and I'm very like, thank you, but...
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like, there's a lot of things about my life that I talk about in the podcast. There's a lot of things that I don't want to talk about in the podcast. And I know that I might not give you details about my relationship, but the reality is that my husband is my best friend and I share every fucking thing with him. So that's why he comes up all the time. But it's not about, you know, it's not about in a relationship now or thinking about those things. Like, it no se me ocurrió, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's good. I think that's good. I think it's healthy for listeners to know so that they don't create this false intimacy with you. All of your fans. How funny. It's so great.
Seb, I'm sorry, but I want to do Zumba with you. Like, that will be fun.
Oh, girl, don't tease her, okay? Do not tease her like that.
Remember that instructor in Vegas that, oh my God, it was like a choreography. You will go from one side of the gym to the other side of the gym, prancing around, mm-hmm. like, oh, give me so much life. I miss Zumba.
Yeah, those were the days. Yeah.
And it shows you that we are the target audience, middle-aged women.
That's
like
us.
Me, so.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny. I the relationship between like teacher and student or like instructor and student, because it's a little more friendly when it's like at the gym and it's an instructor. And they obviously right. want you to keep coming back. So they do kind of play this, especially Zumba instructors. Like, even if they're
gay, they're super flirty.
Yeah, even if they're gay, they're like super flirty with the women because they like the attention, you know?
Right.
And not even, I mean, it's everybody likes the attention. So not just the women, but it's a very interesting dynamic.
Wow.
But, you know, you have a lot of followers, Babelito, that we're probably really bummed out to see your wedding photos.
Oh my god.
They were so in their abismo de pasión that
they can't dig themselves out. Me chivió bien cabrón, güey. Ahorita estoy rojo. Ya estuvo.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we talk about maybe we'll cut this out if it's too much, but I just want to talk to you about something.
Okay.
I don't know why, to me, your Instagram stories make me so angry and like trigger me every time I see them. And so, you know how you do that thing with the X over everything?
Yes.
I think it literally triggers me. And I don't know if it's like, cause it's like such a violent, like boom, or like, I don't know. Or it's because I'm mad because like, you've kind of developed this like very negative social media presence, and I'm just like, it just makes me angry to see that on top of it being like a very violent thing to like cross things out with an ex. But I've noticed that I've just been more sensitive to shit like that lately because I'm finally like becoming in tune with like what triggers me and what makes me upset, because I think for years I've just been kind of I've been kind of pushing everything down and not feeling anything.
Right.
And like lately I've been feeling so much. But I really don't like that, dude. It just like really bugs me because I blocked your story so that it wouldn't bother me. But then I want to see what you're doing. So I'll look on your Instagram. But all it is you Xing shit out. And I'm like, what does that do for anything?
I'm going to tell you
what does that do for the culture?
I'm going to tell you why I do it, and I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to stop. So the reason why, it just made me happy because it's just funny and sarcastic. And I wanted to start doing racist monuments, and that included murals. So that was my thing in the beginning. So when I went to New Mexico, I was having a fucking time of my life Xing all those fucking conquistadores. I won't stop because people have misinterpreted me, and since before I even started this, they just call me a hater. I will go into a dinner party with people that I just met, and they cancel me out all the time. Oh, we're not going to talk about this movie because you're going to hate it. And it used to hurt my feelings so much because my critical approach to things is always seen as just me hating. And that's not the case. So if you don't want to see that my approach to things, it's a way to be critical, which I'm sorry, but you don't have that in your fucking life. There's nothing I can do because it used to hurt my feelings of people always calling me hater and hater this. And, oh, I'm not going to tell you about it because we already know you're going to hate it. Like, I mean, again, it fucking bothered me for so long and I don't care anymore, you know, because I'm fucking critical. If that translate as a hater, I don't care. And this is just like a tool where I can make fun of that for my own self, you know, for my own sake. Because I don't know, like I yet to find more presence in social media like that, where they're like, because I am hypercritical about a lot of things, and that might become hypocritical, you know what I mean? But I don't care. And I don't feel like I want to stop for that same reason, because I'm just tired of people labeling me like that as opposed to critical. So I'm just going to make fun of it, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I'm just communicating to you like what I feel when I see that. And
It makes sense.
I know a lot of people love following your stories of you Xing out the same shit over and over again. That's fine. But
it's
like,
not the same shit over and over again. But
I mean, the symbols of a nation and conquest.
Yes.
And colonization, yeah. But I guess it's because of that fucking sound. It's just like, I hate that sound. It's like, whoa, boom. I'm not going to put it in. I'll edit it in, but I don't even have time to download that and edit it in. But anyway, it's interesting to me, like, this, like, internet persona, you know? Like, I've met so many people that feel really close to me and I don't know who they are, you know, and this letter is about that too, you know. And so I think a lot about Instagram and like how we present ourselves, and if people listen to this show, I guess this show is the most honest I am, and on my other podcast, the Art People podcast, but like I really stop posting all the time on Instagram because I'm like, what am I doing? I'm just like, it's just a facade for people to be like, look, I'm busy, I'm doing stuff. Like, and I'm like, I don't really feel like doing that anymore. I just feel like it's such a lie a lot of times, and it's such a waste of time, you know what I mean?
And that also is triggering for me. Like,
yeah,
certain personalities online, they put these expectations on you without even noticing. So like after, I don't know, 3-6 months of scrolling the same personalities, you start comparing yourself to them. You start to like put your ideals and your life in contrast to what they do. And that's not fucking healthy, man.
Yeah.
And that's like the danger with Instagram, because there's no dialogue around it. There's very little dialogue. So you just get this facade. So it depends on you why interpret them. And people love to play that line, but also you don't understand that sometimes you trigger a lot of people. So I do put in my stories and stuff, but I actually limit my time. On Instagram, my husband is like, I noticed that I spent 2 hours on Instagram. So now I have a reminder that I'm not going to be on Instagram for more than 20 minutes a day, because it's not good for your fucking mental health. You know what I mean?
It's so true. And you know, like, you don't even have a Facebook anymore, but I have one still because, actually, honestly, I have it because I have to update Latinos Who Lunch on Facebook, because a lot of listeners actually get their episodes through it. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the only reason I have it. But I noticed, like, the past 6 months, I don't think I've gone through... I just post on Facebook, like, events and Latinos Who Lunch stuff. And I don't ever scroll through the timeline, because it's like all these people reposting articles from, like, sources that don't matter. And I'm like... I can't.
It's too much.
It's too much, right? Mm-hmm. And so I do find myself on Instagram a lot more, because it's a lot of pictures usually, and that's it. But, you know, it's all owned by Facebook, so it's all becoming the same thing eventually. And there's, like, so many ads on Instagram now that it just makes me not want to scroll through anymore.
On the flip side, I'm always thankful to hear from listeners, to get messages. And as you say, like, I don't have time to answer them, but
yeah,
it's always good to hear that. So it is a double-edged sword, and I understand that. But I also need to take care of myself. And when I find myself waking up and seeing Instagram the first time of the day before I can even fucking echarme un pedo away, like, then there's a fucking problem, you know?
That would be a good Instagram.
Like, my post of me waking up and echarme un pedo cuando me levanto.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. You're going to have a real fan base to make. Swipe up to get an exclusive pedo. All right.
It's a thing. Don't play with it. Okay, next letter.
I don't even want to know, bitch. Okay.
This is from Margarita. Saludos from Charlottesville. Hola, Babelito y Fab. Hola, Babelito y Fab y Fab. This weekend, I'll be listening to the Juanito. I'll be listening to the Juanito episode on repeat as my city becomes militarized zone in the anniversary of terrible events last year.
So this letter was sent in August of 2018.
In August 2018. Okay. I am privileged enough to have the choice to skip town or stay home, avoid the area, and not be on harm's way. But there are businesses in the downtown area that rely very much on Latinx folks to be successful. These businesses will remain open during the weekend, and even though they'll be inside a secure perimeter imposed by the local authorities, and many of these Latinx workers will have to show up to their jobs and perhaps be in danger at the hands of either white nationalists or police officers and National Guards. Please keep in your thoughts these hardworking Latinx people in Charlottesville who make things nice for others to provide for their families. Gracias por dejarme desahogar mi corazoncito. Un abrazo, Margarita. Girl, this is so true about so many things. During the polar vortex, we were privileged enough to just stay at home. The school is like, you guys stay home. But you know how many people, and this was noted by my roommate, Katia, you know how many people had to go to work? You know, had to, like, stand outside for more than, like, 5-10 minutes, which is potentially, like, life-threatening, to get on the bus so you can go and work in a fucking hospital and work in the service industry in the hotels. So, and those are the stories that always get erased all the time. I'm so glad you mentioned it, because we can think about it. We can be spectators about some of these things and the way they go down in TV. But there's people that have no fucking choice, man.
I think about that all the time, especially when I think about my mom and how even she has to go to work even if she's sick, you know?
Right.
Like, there's so many levels. There's so many levels to privilege. But I also wanted to include this letter to remind everybody about what happened at Charlottesville.
Right. Yes.
And we actually touched upon it about your Instagram, Babelito, because I feel like if that filter was around when right after the Charlottesville thing happened, you would have been doing that over Confederate soldiers everywhere, right?
Right.
So it's been, what, 2 years now almost since it happened originally?
Right.
And so it's interesting to see how much has changed and how many of those monuments have been coming down. So I wanted to take the opportunity to touch on that and talk about that too, of this, like, I don't want to say wokeness, but this awareness now that people have of Confederate monuments. And maybe it's just here in Las Vegas or in parts of the Southwest where I've talked to people about it, but I've heard stories or talked to people that are part of like city councils and stuff that they don't even ask the public anymore. They just start taking the monuments down because it's like so obviously racist and white supremacist that to have a sculpture in a certain neighborhood or in a certain park that the city or towns are just taking it down, which is pretty amazing because that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the attention that rally brought to these monuments, you know?
Yeah, they became hyper-visible, which is something that we talked about in the monuments episode.
For sure. And so, unfortunately, there was a lost life at that rally, which was awful, 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 and that's never worth anything, you know? But it's hard out here for Latinos, especially living in Charlottesville, imagine?
Right, right, right. Oof. And
all right.
Anyway, I wanted to say something else, but this is good.
Dale, it's fine.
No, I was just thinking, for example, on another hate event, which was in October 1st in Vegas. Our communities got erased. A lot of the people that, and this was the mass shooting that happened outside of Mandalay Bay during the country music festival. The victims that were highlighted were all the, like, these white people that went to the festival, but all the Latinx vendors and people that worked there, who some of them were undocumented and couldn't get the medical attention they needed. We didn't hear about them. You know, we didn't hear about what happened. They had to go to work. They have to deal with the same struggles. And they were suffering the same consequences of this fucking bullshit, you know, like administration that just continues to promote fucking the use of violence. But you know, where are we in the equation? And this is true to a lot of things. So I'm very, very thankful that Margarita talked about it, more specifically in her hometown. But this happens a lot, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
All right, next letter. And I think this is going to be our last one because we are running out of time, folks. Okay, this is from Rita. She says, yes, go to therapy. All right. I started therapy this month. Us Mexicanos / Latinos are not prone to our crazy family drama and trauma. My therapist did recommend a book called You Are Not Your Brain by Jeffrey Schwartz. Sadly, there's no audiobook version. I've not read a lot of it, but it's interesting. Babelito, once you choose your plan, ask... Oh, so she's giving us tips on therapy. Here we go.
Nice.
Babelito, once you choose your plan, ask questions before you decide on the plan, because once you've decided, you are stuck. She will be more than happy to help, she says. But also, find out if your company/organization offers EAP, Employee Assistance Program. I found my therapist through them. My employer has his benefit and I get 6 free sessions per issue. It's always good to inquire. Love you, cabronas, Rita. So that was her. I think she probably listened to the episode where we were both thinking about going to therapy.
Right.
And I know that you've now taken steps to actually go to therapy.
Yeah.
So you figured it out. So maybe this is a good opportunity to talk about therapy and anybody that's thinking about it. And I just had a conversation about therapy with one of my primas because she doesn't, you know, when it's not part of your culture, you don't even know how to go about it.
Exactly.
And I said, well, girl, she's a government worker. And I was like, well, girl, you're a government worker. You have health insurance. And I'm pretty sure therapy is included. We just got to ask, you know. And she's, and it's that thing again. It's like, if it's not part of your culture and it's something that isn't looked at as serious, like there's no prior history, there's no training, you know. So I'm like, well, let me help you. I'll call the insurance company. We'll figure it out, you know.
And this is why finding the right therapist and the right, at least for our communities, Latinx therapist is so important, because they understand that stigma. They understand those taboos and ask questions. The first time I went to my therapist, I wasn't even sure that I could afford him or her. So I actually didn't know what was going to happen after that. So I was a little afraid. My therapist was very open about allowing me time to find more information. And luckily for me, everything worked out. I'm going to say 3 weeks ago, I got a letter from the insurance, like stating, and again, I'm very fucking privileged to have insurance to be able to do this, which a lot of people don't, you know, and there are other resources. But when I got the letter, it showed me, and I was a little bit confused because I am a person that it's very responsible and avoid, you know, those things. So I didn't even want to open because I thought it was a receipt. When I saw the prices, I freaked the fuck out and I thought that was going to be it. I literally went through a mini panic episode because I don't realize, I just realized at that moment how useful and how necessary therapy is for me. I'm going through some things that I don't want to talk to anybody about it. Not anybody, but I also need to talk about it. So that's my only escape. So when I find out that I could possibly lose that, I freaked the fuck out. But again, I ask questions. I call my insurance. I talk to my therapist, and they assured me that everything is fine. I'm going weekly and bi-weekly now, and I am so happy I found my therapist, because it's sessions in Spanglish, all these topics that I didn't know I wanted to talk to somebody for my entire life. I'm finally doing it, you know, and I shame myself for not doing it before, because again, for that stigma, I publicly shame people in the podcast, you know. It's like the only thing that I've said that I, like, you know, not regret, but that listeners actually, like, made me, like, open my eyes, but I also gone through it. So it is super important. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. These people are paid not to judge you. You know what I mean? So ask, and you're going to find the resources you need. A lot of LGBTQI centers in the United States offer free services. So go to that community center as well. There's ways to do it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say that LGBT centers for any queer listeners, or a lot of places offer sliding scale therapy depending on your income,
right,
and your situation. There's a lot of therapists also doing like a lot of charitable work when it comes to that, like actually being a service to the community, you know, once in a while. And maybe you can't afford to go every week or bi-weekly, which, you know, like for me would be ideal. But maybe you can only go once a month, you know, or every other month, but at least talk about it. And I've had some really healthy conversations about therapy with friends, and it's something that's difficult because it's almost like going to the gym. You get what you want out of therapy. So like, if you really want to work through shit and you really put your mind to it and take the time, you can really make some breakthroughs and work through your shit. But you can also be that you can also be that lady that goes to the gym and watches Food Network on the elliptical for 30 minutes and then goes home. And by that lady, I mean me. And you're like, wow, I'm going to the gym every day. But you know what? Those 30 minutes a day on the elliptical eventually will make a difference. But imagine if you go to the gym and you get a trainer and you go a couple times a week, you're going to see the results a little bit more
faster,
a little faster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just, and some people aren't ready. Some people aren't ready to go to kickboxing and go, you know, do weight training. Some people want to be on the elliptical for a little while because that's what makes them feel comfortable. And that's, they're not afraid of that.
And that's good.
Machine. And that's good. You can do that.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, you're going to get bored and you're going to need something else, or you're going to be fine and it's going to work out and your thighs are going to be, ooh, poured like a rock, or what is it? I don't know. Anyway, there's many, many ways to go about it. Just don't be afraid to ask questions. And I mean, especially in these times, I feel like if you're not going to therapy and you can, and like you have the insurance, like take advantage, you know what I mean? It's hard in these times, especially with the way that our country is and just like the way that people are being treated. You start to lose sight of reality, and also that like what you're feeling can really affect your health in a major way.
Yeah, and find those spaces that you can take care of yourself. Could be your room, could be un antro gay, you know, like everybody's different. And but again,
siempre
siempre es viernes. But yeah, like yeah. Ask questions. Don't be afraid. And I know asking the first question may take years. It took years for me. It took years. And you will tell me, you said, okay, you talk about therapy now, but like search it. I'm like, okay. So like I will hang up the phone and no me atrevía, man. Me ponía excusas. Oh, no, no tengo la aseguranza. Guara, guara la cuchara. But I'm super thankful that I did. So if we can be any help, I actually had listeners send me letters asking for resources, and I've been able to guide them. So if I can be of any help, I will always be there.
It's amazing how our habits and like how our program really affects us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been having a really, really stressful time lately, and it got to the point last night or two nights ago where I couldn't, I needed to cope somehow, and I didn't really want to talk to anybody. And so I haven't been smoking cigarettes, you know? You know how I used to love smoking cigarettes?
Yes,
it was,
girl,
like my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. But like blacking out and smoking.
Uno tras otro, uno tras otro, uno tras otro.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. But I haven't, because I realized like, oh my God, I can't even breathe anymore, you know? Like I'm already a big person, and on top of it smoking, I'm going to die any day, you know? Mm-hmm. But I was so stressed out. I was like, I need something. And so I went and bought a pack of cigarettes. And then this morning, like today while we're recording, I was like, why the fuck do I have these cigarettes in my room? Like,
wow,
Jesus Christ. And so I did the thing that people do in the movies, like when they like get all dramatic and they're like, this is my last day. And I like filled my sink with water and I put the cigarettes in there, you know, and then like threw them away, like so that I couldn't. Because I know myself, and while I was doing that, it was playing in my head like all the times that I've done that already,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then I'm like, and the reason why I'm putting them in the sink is because I've thrown them away in the trash before, and then the next night, when I'm stressed out, I will dig them out of the trash to smoke them, you know?
Híjole.
So I'm like, I got to wet them this time.
Yeah.
In the toilet. So, I mean, all that to say is like, some of us are truly creatures of habit, and not dealing with our shit and feeling sad and bad for ourselves is like an addicting feeling for a lot of us. And once we realize that we're addicted to that, to depression and to anxiety and to being miserable, that's when I realized anyway, like, oh, like, I'm not seeking help because I'm fine with this, but it shouldn't be this way.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, just because you find a comfortable place where you just handle things, it doesn't mean that it cannot get better. It can always get better.
And it sucks because, you know that saying, misery loves company.
Right.
It's true. Like, if you're feeling shitty by yourself and you go out to a bar and you go drink, guess what, Mimi? You're going to find five other people in that bar that are thinking the exact same thing as you are. And then they become your friends, and then you're just like wallowing in each other's misery for right. like years, right. you know? Yeah, that's a tip too. Be careful of the people that you meet in bars and become your friends, because from my experience, those people were enablers for me for years, because it made me think that, you know, drinking all the time and being sad was like a normal thing because I was surrounded by people that did that right. all the time. Oh. And now you won't catch me outside my house after 8 p.m., girl. I am. I'm either working or in bed, because ain't nobody got time for that.
Exactly. Oh, this was a good question. I'm glad Rita sent us that email.
It wasn't really a question. It was just her telling us, like, get your lives together, fool.
Stupidas.
So thanks, Rita. Muchas I really gracias. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think we did an episode. I think that's enough for now. I know we have a lot to do today, so we got to go.
I just have a quick recommendation, because I just have to talk about it for a second.
Yeah, let's do Rex. Okay. Go for it.
So in our episode on La Virgen de Guadalupe, I talked to a band called Y La Bamba. I said La Bamba, but it's Y La Bamba. They had just released their single Mujeres, and their album came out in February. It's been on repeat in everywhere. Again, the album is called Mujeres, so it's the same as the single, but now the whole album is out, and it goes through a roller coaster of fucking psychedelic anthems of feminism. This is a girl that it's in Portland, but she is Mexican. She has a whole song about being from Michoacán. The album is weird, kooky. Stylistically speaking, it's like 1960s, 1970s psychedelia, but somehow it all works together into this cohesive and amazing fucking roller coaster of an album. Again, the band is Y La Bamba, and the album is called Mujeres. If you haven't listened to it, put your shit together and download it. It's available everywhere.
Hey, Babelito, I just got an idea.
Uh-huh.
I have a recommendation for you.
Okay.
Do you have Spotify?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I am going to ask you to do something for me and for the listeners.
Okay.
If you have time, maybe, you know, and this is kind of a fun thing, so maybe you'll be able to do it at night, you know, like as one of your fun activities instead of a work activity. I think it would be really cool if you made a playlist on Spotify with the recommendations, and you can start with this one and just keep adding as the weeks go on, because the last few episodes, I mean, the last like several episodes, they've been all music recs. So it would be so cool, I think, that if you made a playlist with all the recommendations you've made so far this year, or I mean, if you don't want to go back because you don't have time, just start doing it now.
Yeah, like I'm.
What do you think?
No, I'm down for it. I need to, and I've been wanting to do this, but no, I'm going to do it because I do have some playlists. And I, for example, the playlist for the Scum Party of Rudy's birthday, it's something that I've been sharing for a long time, and people love that. Yeah, so I need to do it again.
Okay, so let's decide on a title so that people can search it on Spotify.
A la madre.
Do you want it just to be Babelito's Picks or like Babelito Recommends?
Babelito Recommends. I like that.
Okay, Babelito Recommends. So by the time this episode comes out, there will be a few songs on there.
Yes.
So search Babelito Recommends on Spotify, and eventually we'll post it on our social media too. And if you don't have Spotify, that's totally understandable, but
I think you can still listen without being subscribed.
Yeah, you can listen to some of it.
Uh-huh.
But at least the list will be there,
so you can
like you can scroll through it. Mm-hmm. and then like listen to them on YouTube or whatever if you want, you know what I mean, just so that the list is in one place.
Down. I'm going to do it, and it will be
ready.
I think
that would be cool.
Yeah
because then that'll also help me prepare for our music episode, because I could just go to that playlist and see what you're listening to.
I'm down. It's gonna be
you know
ready.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Es una promesa de
Valeria. Yeah. Yeah, I already have a Favi recommendation playlist.
Uh-huh.
It's all of J-Lo's catalog. So you don't even have to Google it. Just listen to J-Lo. Just kidding. So I think that's it. My recommendation is to, oh, is for everybody to please brush your teeth for at least 2 minutes.
Brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth. Oh, and listen to Lady Leisure. Yes. But we forget that some people forget that they have two sides to their mouth. So just, you know, when you're brushing, just remember to go to the other side and brush. And then teeth, mouths, there's an inside of the teeth and an outside part. So make sure you go on the inside and just like run your tongue across your teeth. And if you feel like plaque or you feel a texture, that's called plaque, you guys. And that's not good for you. So please brush your teeth at least for 2 minutes. Yo, traveling with people and just like going to people's houses and living with people. Have you ever gotten ready? It's just so interesting for me to get ready with people in the same bathroom and see their ritual, mm-hmm. you know? But it's like whenever I like go camping, for example, and it's all these dudes, they literally put their toothbrush in their mouth for like 5 seconds and then just spit out the toothpaste and they're done.
No, I think it has to be 3 minutes minimum or something like that.
Please, 4 minutes, girl. Please.
Just 15, 20, half a day.
Half a day. You know what? Just be the toothbrush.
Stop leaving.
Yes. Become a toothbrush. No, a lot. I just can't stress how important it is. People forget. I try to brush them at least twice a day. And listen, in the morning and at night. Listen, I also, you know, we're taught how to brush our teeth when we're little kids, and then they never kind of reteach us how to brush them. So a lot of people brush their teeth like they're 5 years old still. Let me explain to you what you should know. I talked to my dentist about this, and this is why this is on my mind. Because when I first started going to the dentist, my dentist told me that I was brushing my teeth wrong. Okay. And so I know. So listen. When you're brushing your teeth, don't think about cleaning your teeth, like the bones, your teeth. Think about the space between your teeth and your gums, because that's where all the bacteria lives.
And floss.
So what you should be doing with your toothbrush is brushing/massaging in circular motions the gum, like between the gum and the tooth, like. And so that is what a true clean brushing should be. And a lot of people get toothbrushes that are too hard and you're actually like brushing the enamel off of your teeth. A nice medium to soft toothbrush is what you should be going for. Mm-hmm. And so massage your gums in a circular motion, and that should also be hitting your teeth at the same time, and then go across it. And I know this sounds wild right now that I'm telling you how to brush your teeth, but I know several of you listening right now didn't know that, because I remember when I didn't know that, okay? And so at least do that. I know a lot of you hoes don't like to floss, but that's a whole nother thing. That's next week's recommendation. I'll teach everybody how to floss.
This is by far my favorite fucking recommendation in Latinos Who Lunch history.
Yeah, girl. Please spend at least, I'm not even telling you to do the full 3 minutes, at least 2 minutes. Like brush on one side, get the inside, go the other side. Girl, we could talk about it forever. I'm not even gonna get to tongue brushing. That's for the next.
That'll be
3 weeks from now.
Oh my god.
Oh, all right. I'm done.
Me too.
Okay, and as always, you could visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Please leave your reviews wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are, and visibility is
leads to representation, and representation matters.
That's right. If you have a moment, please join our Patreon. You can donate to us on PayPal, latinoswholunch@gmail.com. You can leave us a tip on Cash App, $ Latinos Who Lunch, or send us some money on Venmo at Latinos Who Lunch. Look at that. Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. The music you hear in the background now is by the band Brownout. Okay, that's it.
Bye.
I'm Fabi Fav.
I'm Babelishtli. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 bailas.